Lord, thank you for this time this week, and thank you for your mercy and grace and what we've heard. It's just truly amazing what we've heard this week and experienced. And thank you for giving us this week in June every year. In Jesus' name, amen. Hasn't it been a great week? It's just tremendous. Just a tremendous time of fellowship. There's always just a unique anointing, a unique experience from God during a conference. We had one in January in China, and pretty much as a result of that one conference, we had three families move to Kunming for Bible college. So it's just, I think each one of you have experienced this yourselves, and you just know there's just a very special thing about a conference, and we're very happy to be here. We're just really, really excited to be here and just have received so much. Just going to read Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what it will be. He who reveals secrets. And then Colossians chapter 1. And verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you ever in your personal lives experienced a mystery? Something you couldn't figure out? Something that, you know, maybe you spent a lot of time considering, a lot of time thinking about, but just you can't come to just an answer of why this happened or why you're experiencing this. You know, it's funny, these last couple days we've got a bunch of bags on our dresser, on our, you know, where we keep our clothes, the cabinet, and come in late at night. You know how it is in a convention. You come late at night, you leave early in the morning. And I put my wedding ring one night just on this dresser somewhere and went to bed, and then I couldn't find it the next day, and then I couldn't find it the day after. And, you know, I'm looking through things. I'm looking on top, looking on the bottom, just can't see it. And it was, you know, what is this mystery? You know how guys, if you leave the house without it, sometimes it just, I don't know about you, but it just doesn't feel like I have everything. So, you know, it's so funny. This morning when I woke up, it was pitch dark in my room. And I go over to the dresser just for something, and I can't see anything. And I hit a glass, an empty glass, you know, and it fell on the floor onto my foot, and it didn't break. I was very excited about that. And it didn't hurt either, which was also pretty good too. And then, so I did go down, I got my flashlight on the phone, I went down and I looked at it, and it landed right on my ring, you know? And it was like, I couldn't have, you know, planned that, you know, if I had tried to. But it was, you know how God does little things in your life that just, you know, they're kind of insignificant in the, when you think of the eternal purpose of God. But, I mean, it still blesses you, and you know it's from God, because it just couldn't have happened otherwise. But I think many of us have little mysteries, and then we have big mysteries. We have things that perhaps really trouble us, and the human condition, one of the traits of who we are as humans is we don't have all information available to us. God is unique in knowing all things and being omniscient, but one of the aspects of the human experience is we don't know all things. And in fact, it's very limited what we know. And it makes an interesting life. And God arranges mysteries to happen in each one of us. I was talking to a brother yesterday on the sidewalk, and we have known each other for a long time, and we were back in Bible college, back in the Lenox days, and we were talking about a Christian leader back in those days who was, just really a fervent leader. He was not in our church. He was in another church, but he died when he was 28. And, he was just really, it seemed like just really being used by God. I mean, it was just amazing, at the time. And then to have that happen, it's a little bit of a mystery. And God knows these things, and God has a perfect purpose, and God is complete in all of his understanding, and his plan is perfect. But to we human beings, there can be things that happen that are just really unusual and mysterious, if you will. And why does this happen? Why does this happen? And I think the big reason that God allows these things in our lives, it's an opportunity to have an intimacy with God. Mysteries in our life, I think, are an opportunity for intimacy with God, because it gives us something to go to him by faith. We go to him by faith because we know he is the revealer of mysteries. He reveals mysteries. He can reveal secrets. And we go to him because he also, if he chooses not to reveal a mystery or a secret, he is the person who gives us the grace and the peace and the patience to wait for that mystery to be revealed. And it might be revealed on this earth, or it might be revealed in heaven. We don't really know. But God is the author of, you could say, he is the one who reveals mysteries, but he also, when he does not reveal a mystery, he sustains us. He sustains us. And we rest in fellowship with him and in his character during the time. But I believe that there are more things in our lives that God wants to reveal than we might realize. I think sometimes we just live our lives and we take for granted certain things. And we say, this is just me. This is just my family. This is just my situation. And we just take for granted, but there might be a mystery there that God wants to reveal. There might be something that God wants to do very special in the details of your life. And I think we need to be open to God to have a mystery revealed. We need to be open to him to, yes, we go to him by faith. Yes, we look at our life by faith. But perhaps God wants to share something like he did with Abraham. He said, should we tell him about what we are thinking about with Sodom and Gomorrah? Should we tell him? And they went on to tell him. It's like almost part of God's desire and nature to share things to friends, to share secrets like Daniel to friends. And I think in each one of us, there are opportunities in certain aspects in our life. There are opportunities that we can go to God and we can listen, we can abide, we can look to Him, we can just behold Him, and He can share with us something that we didn't really expect perhaps. We can get an answer that perhaps we thought just wasn't going to come. I think expectation towards Christ is an amazing thing. And that mystery simply is, it's Christ. It's the person of Christ, fellowshipping with Him. He is the answer. He answers the ministry, the mysteries. He reveals the mysteries, and He gives us grace during the mysteries. And in closing, Christ is the rock. Christ is the rock. Many times, in the scriptures, you see the rock speaking of security. Something that is secure, something that doesn't move. You go to a rock because it is secure. And you can be safe there. And you can be secure there. I don't know how many people, was it Prudential Life Insurance that had a huge rock? I don't know if they do that anymore. Sometimes when I give illustrations, I'm a little afraid because it kind of dates me, you know. You've got like a lot of 30, 40-year-olds like, what is he talking about? But then 50, 60-year-olds, oh, yeah, I remember that. But anyway, it was an insurance company that had this huge rock, you know, with securities and insurance. And that really is a rock. And we need security from God. We need security. And it's amazing that, yes, we can go to a place of security, but really, Christ is in us. The rock is in us. And it's amazing that, you know, our security, being Christ, cannot be separated from us. Our security lives inside of us. And that's perhaps why Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That security, that rock, lives inside of us and is inseparable from us. So, you know, there's so many opportunities, you know, in our lives now, opportunities to grow, opportunities to grow in fellowship, opportunities to grow in knowing, you know, who the rock is and what His commitment towards us really is. So thank you. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Mike. So our next speaker is, I've been told, a distant relative of the coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. If you have any trouble understanding his English, it's because, well, it's obvious he's from New England. So please welcome Pastor Tomasz.
Good morning. I am originally from Czech Republic, now living in Serbia, Belgrade, with my beautiful wife and two children. The fact that I am standing here is a mystery. Thank you for this opportunity for me to be here. We appreciate your prayers, your edification. You are a huge part of what God is doing in Serbia and in the Balkans. Thank you so much. Thank you. And now for the beginning, if we would turn into the Matthew chapter 7. Let's pray. Dear God, just stand in awe of you, and we cannot describe how thankful we are for everything you are doing in our lives. thank you, God, that some of your ways are mysterious, but we know your character in all of this. Thank you, God, we can trust you. We can just run to the rock and be hidden in a cleft of the rock. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this time, we pray. Amen. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, speaks about the foundation which has been laid and about the way how we build on it. According to the grace, 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. These are great verses. There is a rock, there is a Jesus, he is the foundation which has been laid, and we are building on it. We are building our lives on it. We build on it the system of how to educate our children, how to bring up our children. We use the foundation and the building to build the beautiful structure of our marriages and relationships with our spouse, with children, and in the body of Christ with each other. We source from the scriptures and we learn how to build each other, how to build a church. We trust Jesus, we trust the rock, and we trust the scriptures. This is very beautiful. We know we are loved by God, we love God, and in a faith obedience we apply what we hear. But sometimes it may happen that you do everything, you build on the rock, but somehow it doesn't work. Seemingly, it doesn't work. You do all the best with your children, and they turn into disobedient children. You do all the best with your wife, and she turns into... No. You know, you do all the best for your wife, period. By the way, my wife, she's amazing. Yeah. Just simple truth. If there is trouble in a relationship, it's usually man's fault. Okay, so we do everything. We lay down our life. You go the extra mile. You are in a Belgrade in Serbia and you evangelize. You know, the old method. Confrontational evangelism. You walk to people and you speak with them. You talk with them. You pray. You do all your best. But what if it doesn't work? What if you don't see any results? 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's the last chapter of the 1 Timothy. It's a letter of Apostle Paul. He is a teacher of the student Timothy. And at the end of this letter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, he tells him these last words, important words. The last words. And he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep it. You have been entrusted with something. We have been entrusted with something. Keep it, Timothy. And he says, avoid profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Keep that which has been committed to your trust. Don't change it, Timothy. Maybe you will not see the results immediately. Maybe you will have a doubt. Does this method works? Does grace works? Keep that, Timothy. Don't change it. We read in Mark 4, there is a sower. He went with the seed and he was sowing the seed. And it says in Mark 4:4 that some seed fell wayside. And then the birds of the air came and ate the seed. No results. Mark 4:5 says that the sower gave the seed on a stony ground. And it had no root and it withered. Mark 4:7 says that the seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns choked it. No results. But Mark 4:8 says that the seed fell on a good ground and it gave fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. You evangelize and you see no results? Keep sowing. Keep praying. Keep investing. Timothy, keep that which has been entrusted to you. We have inherited so much in this ministry. We have treasures of the doctrinal teachings. Keep that, Timothy. Don't change it. In 1991, roughly around that year, I'm bad with the dates, in Czech Republic, my sister met ministry on the street and she became a believer. My older sister and the younger brother. You know the relationships. She loves her younger brother. It was a Christmas time. So she came and she gave me a gift, a present. So I opened the present and there was Bible. Thank you, sister. You really love me. Thank you. So the Bible went on a shelf. There was a birthday. I got a present. I opened the present and there was a Bible. Thank you. It went on a shelf. So there was another Christmas, another birthday. And I got some Dr. Stevens doctrinal booklets. I got the booklet, Marriage Can Be This Good. I have the whole collection of the booklets and Bibles. Yeah, thank you. I was really interested. But you know what? She kept on sewing. She was sewing. If you would listen old tapes from Czech, Pastor Boyce is preaching and before the classes, he prays for people. And on these old tapes, you can hear Pastor Boyce praying, Dear God, we pray for Tomáš Bulíček. You can hear my name. They were sowing. They were praying. They did not give up. Keep that which has been committed. We have a beautiful method which works. And then I was saved. I went to Bible school. God showed the results. roughly around 1995 in Czech Republic, Pastor Scheller used to go to a small city called Hradec. Have you ever heard about Hradec? Neither did I. It's in my country and nobody knows where it is. But Pastor Scheller does. He used to go there to this little church and he preached. And he came again, again, again. Why was he doing? Maybe it seemed like vanity. The gas money, the hours, the preaching. The church had a dead face, no response. But he was just sowing the seed. From that church came my wife. And she is with me on the mission field now, holding up my hands. He kept sowing. He kept believing. He kept preaching the grace. Let us never change the message. The Song of Solomon 8:7 says, if there is someone who would like to buy love for money, he would be utterly despised. We cannot change this message. This cannot be bought. It's a given. It's a grace given. Keep serving. Keep preaching. Keep praying. Keep laying down your life. Maybe you will not see any results. Who cares? We believe the message. We believed our Savior. Keep preaching. Oh, Timothy, keep that which has been committed to your trust. Keep on doing it. Don't quit. Keep on doing it. It has results, and we will see them either here or in heaven. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Look at me. We are the fruit of it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We believe you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this grace message. We are not changing the method. We are not looking by eye on the results. And maybe we think it seemingly doesn't work, but it does. We just keep on sowing, keep on believing, keep on praying, keep on serving, keep on laying down our lives, keep on preaching grace. Thank you so much. You are beautiful. Amen.
That was great. You can stand and share with your neighbor something. So, I mean, yeah. She can stand. Change position. You can stand. You can stand. Yeah. And share with your neighbor something from the messages we just heard. Hello. Okay. All right, our next speaker. He can sing, he can dance, he can preach, he can do it all at the same time. Pastor Jabulani.
Wow. I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one who feels like puking every time. I'm also very glad to hear that I'm not the only one who feels like a gas, muddy, and something else. And yeah, I'm also glad that I'm not the only one who's limping along. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. I'm so overwhelmed, I would say, to be here this morning. Okay, let me open the Bible. I think that's where we're going to start. The book of Numbers, chapter 20. Going to read starting in verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels." This is Moses, amazing man of God. "Listen, listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Wow. That's what Moses is saying to the children of Israel. "So then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and the beasts drank." Father, bless these words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very interesting story in the Bible. What is very interesting for me, I think I always wonder to myself, why is it that Moses lost his place in the Promised Land? And for me, it seemed a bit harsh that, all he did was struck the rock, so what's the difference? You know, and the water still came out anyway, so what's the matter, God? But we know the Bible says that Moses lost his place. Until I looked very closely to what God says is the reason. God says, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Faith in God is what makes us Christians. When I look at the story of Moses, it makes me realize something. Many people out there make excuses and say, "The reason why I don't believe is because there isn't enough evidence." They say that I don't have enough information at my hands. That is the reason why I don't believe in your God. So I would rather, as we have heard, I would rather stick to my rock, because your rock is a bit different from the rock that's my own. But we see something here. This is Moses, by the way, who performed the 10 miracles. This is the Moses who parted the Red Sea. This is the Moses that saw God deliver the children of Israel over and over from his enemies. But at this point and at this hour, God gives him a word when the children of Israel are in desperate need for water. But Moses, instead of giving the word of God, what does he do? His hand picks up the rod and he strikes the rock. Moses, what happened to the words of God? "You don't understand. I have a rod. I can use it. I've seen it being used before. I've seen it being used. I used the same rod, by the way, to part the Red Sea." Who cares about God's words? I have experience. And this is what happens sometimes. Oftentimes when we walk with God, and even in the world, instead of believing the word that God speaks in the moment, in that time, whether we understand it or not, we revert back to even something that has been given by God, like a rod. The beauty about this story is this. Even though Moses didn't speak God's words, God told him to, even though Moses decided that the work of God needed the assistance of his hand, God would not let his name be shamed, and God still, the waters flowed out of the rock. What does that represent to us? It represents the finished work. That regardless of our hand, right? Our filthy hands, muddling in God's work, God will not let his name be shamed. Isaiah 55, once the words of God leave his mouth, God will ensure that his words realize what he sent his words out to do. For us, for you and I, when God's words leave his mouth and they land into our ears, in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, and we believe those words like they are from God himself, they have the power to accomplish in us exactly what God had intended for them to accomplish. The problem is not lack of evidence, because Moses had more than enough evidence. Moses was used up tremendously by God. What's the problem, Moses? Moses, you did not believe me. Moses, maybe in this particular moment, you were not, as First Peter says, chapter 1, verse 20, you were not purified in your love for the brethren. Maybe you were a little bit angry. Who knows what God said to him? God said, speak to the rock. Which words did God say to him? We don't know, because Moses never said anything. But we know that God's words left his mouth. God's word left his mouth. But we know that Moses did not represent the kindness and the love of God in the way that, because it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, that the man of God should not strive, right? And in 25 it says that we should correct in gentleness and in kindness those who are in error. But this is not what Moses did in this particular instance. The amazing Moses, the mighty Moses who parted the Red Sea, was angry at God. Maybe like Jonah, he wasn't happy with what God told him. But we know even in the case of Jonah, what happened? Nineveh still got saved, the finished work. We know unwillingly, Jonah was dropped on the shores of Nineveh, and Nineveh got saved. See, when we speak the words of God, first of all, we know the Bible tells us, we as Christians, right, as a provision of God's grace, the chosen method of living is faith. The just shall live by faith. We know the scriptures. And it is a provision of God's grace in Romans 4, verse 16. It is in accordance to grace that we should live by faith. And this is the only thing that is pleasing to God. And God wants us to hear his word so that we may have faith. So when we hear God's word, when God speaks, we believe what God says. We believe what God says. And when we believe what God says, it accomplishes what God has intended for it to accomplish in our lives. We become established. Become established. This is how we become built on the rock. Moses spoke these words. Moses didn't speak God's words, but out of the rock flew the rivers of life, right? For everybody. And it says in John chapter 17, when we believe, out of us, the same rivers of life flow. But I love it that God doesn't depend on our faith to give us life. When we believe, we, through faith, become contributors and participants in God's word. We can speak words and we can see the rock release rivers and waters of life. And the people and the beasts, they drink and they become alive. And we receive our reward, our contribution, as provisioned by God's grace in God's work. Only as 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we speak that which we believe. Because what we believe is manifested in what we do. When I look at this picture, I was thinking about what happens when there's an earthquake and the house shakes. Whatever is not in the foundation of the rock is going to break. Because God does say he will shake off all those things that need to be shaken away. And those things that remain, they will remain. In light of what I'm saying, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, it is the words of God that last and abide forever. So when we receive God's word and they come into our ear, when we hear them and we believe them and they become a part of our thinking, the construct of our mind, in hard times, in situations, what remains is the word of God. Because that is what is founded. That is what is engrafted in the rock. That is what makes, what determines the shape, the strength of our building. The words that God speaks. To hear the word of God that we may have faith. To live by every word of God. And we know that this word, just like in the case of Moses, it's not about what God told Moses when Moses was about to part the Red Sea. It's not about the words that God said before. But in that hour, God gave him a word that was particularly, specifically applicable to the situation. It was a rhema. The just man shall live by faith. Though he withdraws, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. And faith is now, it's right now. Now faith is right now. And the substance and the evidence of that faith is revealed in what we say right now, what God has said right now. And right now, Moses, speak to the rock. Let the waters of life come out of the rock. Rhema, the word that is now. Moses strikes and uses the rod. And sometimes when we go through baffling situations that make us confused, we also have the tendency to want to use maybe what God has used to help us before. But God has a specific word for us in whatever situation we are in. And it is a fresh word, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. It is a fresh word, it is a perfect word. And it is perfectly applicable for that time. And this is the word that is able to produce in us, in verse 15, the faith that is of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We withdraw from me. My soul will not have any pleasure in you. Isaiah 48 tells us, God speaks to the children of Israel. He says, I knew that you were stubborn, but all of a sudden, I made it happen. He says in verse 3, that I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth. Once the word of God leaves his mouth, it's going to accomplish what God wants for it to accomplish. In 7, it says, they are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day you hear them, lest you say, behold, I knew them. In 11, it says, it was for my own sake. For my own sake will I do it. Because I will not let my name be polluted. Christ called himself a rock. He will not let his name be polluted. He will not let the stability, the solidity of his name be polluted by our fickle and our frail being. But I love what Pastor Marty shared yesterday. God is not moved by our humanity. He's in love with us. Right? He has the very hairs of our on our head numbered. I try to make it easy for him because there's too many heads. At least that way God has more time for other things in my life, I think. It wasn't the plan this morning. This morning I was so nervous. I was trying to, shave and then look. And then, I had to remove the whole thing. I was like, okay, God, maybe I still have too many hairs on my face. But the God is in love with us. As Pastor Shabeli said to us on Monday, that God, we are precious in his sight. And he will not let the frailty of our humanity become a stumbling block in him carrying out his will. But man, oh man, when we believe God, do we become these powerful beings? Because we speak the things that we have no right to speak about. We have no authority to speak about. Even our minds still have a maybe difficulty in comprehending because we are finite beings. We exist in our finitude, one place at a time, one thing at a time, except if a woman can multitask, so I hear. But we're limited. And yet God says, I will place my eternity in them. And they will be able to say things. And they will be able to speak words. And rivers of life will flow out of them. And they will speak. And their life will flow. And it will extend over the oceans and over the seas. And there they go. They land in South Africa. Now, I mean that. I'm not just trying to be. I mean that. And this is an integral to this finished work. This is what I wanted to say this morning. Integral to this finished work is the body of Christ. God has chosen us. God has chosen the body of Christ. He has engrafted us in himself, that we will become the very expression of these words, the very expression of his love. And I can say, in my time, in my hour of need, this body became the reality, the realization of that truth. The very expression of God's love in a way that never ever in my life have I experienced. It was a moment that was supposed to be the darkest hour of my life, and yet I saw the body of Christ shine the light brighter than I could ever imagine. I'm so grateful to God that we have men of God and women of God that speak these words, and these life flows. This water flows. And that's what I love about water, is that water is not hindered by stumbling blocks. Water finds a way around it. This is the thing about when we try to use our reasoning. Our words are not water. Our words, they're nothing. But it's God's words that are. Through the Holy Spirit, they are. And when God speaks, these words, they find a way around whatever stumbling blocks and situations that are in our lives. They find a way around it. And they reach the destination. And my children and I are very grateful for what you guys have done. It would be very difficult for me to express and mention people by names. But I can tell you one thing, though. I can tell you one thing. If this, something that became a reality in my life in this last 6 months, it's this. Remember, believe again, be established again, and continue. The body of Christ. Just to be able to come and hear the children laugh, the little footsteps, to hear people laugh, to smell the different aromas of people, or not to. To hang around, to be hugged in times where I didn't even want to get hugged. To be asked uncomfortable questions, but in love. This pulpit here, this body here, as Pastor Pulicek, right, has said, he expressed exactly how I feel very well. You may not understand and know what your faith is doing, the words you say, and it's not about knowing what to say. Sometimes we look at people and we go, ah, yeah, you know, that's enough. Ah, it's enough, and ah, it's enough. grunting is okay, right? Because it's not about words. There is one thing I want to close with this, that God has placed, which at that moment was not in Moses. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, we have this treasure in our earthen vessel, that the excellency may not be ourselves, but may be of God. What is this treasure? What is this treasure? What is this treasure? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. What is this treasure? The treasure is the person of Jesus Christ himself in love dwelling in us. When we pour him out, right? When we pour him out, this is the treasure. This is the most valuable part of our body, is the heart. What part of your body do you protect the most? Do you value the most? It's the heart. That's the one place where you don't just let anything come in. Because if you do, then it's dangerous. But this body here throughout the world, I mean, I get messages from India, from Switzerland, from Asia, from everywhere, South America. And I realize one thing, just like the same way that the veil was ripped, God ripped the Holy of Holies so that we may all have free access, which in my own opinion, it represents the heart of God being ripped apart for all of us to have access. This body here revealed that it's really ripped and there are no boundaries. That even a person like myself, even though you don't know me, I know because some of you are like, oh, God. I'm like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter that you didn't know me. It didn't matter that you didn't know me. But your heart was open. And as Paul says, our heart was poured out to you, O Corinthians. Your heart was open. Your heart was open. So, I want to leave you with that this morning. God has finished the work. We don't have to add any fancy words to it. Let's speak what we have heard from God. That is what has life. Let's remember. Let's believe again. Let's be established again. And let us continue. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Pastor. Maybe not everybody realizes, but Pastor Jabalani's wife went to be with the Lord some months ago, and you have three children. And he came home, and his wife was gone. She went to be, you know, and a huge trial. But what we just heard was blessing us, saying God is faithful, the body helping him, and you know, that's just amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor. Means a lot. Thank you. Pastor Bulacek mentioned how we went to this small village, Hladek, and just to say a few words about it, it actually somehow looks like this picture. The church is on a mountain. It's up a mountain, and there's a story, 1930s, it was a bar room up in the mountains in Czech. And 1979 was the first time I went there. I was in Poland, and I was invited. This was Soviet communist times. And I met the pastor, Otto Rusnak, and he invited me. And anytime I could get to go, I would go. And it was like legal. But the bar room, what happened was there was a man of God. This was before World War II. And there was a prophecy in Poland to leave Poland because terrible things were going to be happening. And actually, World War II happened, and there were terrible things that happened. But people moved to this town, and anyway, and this man of God was preaching, and the people stopped going to the bar room, and so they had to sell it. And the believers bought it and turned it into a church. Yeah, and the pastor loved to hear about grace. So I would go there and preach about grace, and then afterwards the elders would preach about law. Because the elders would say, "Hey, grace is good, but hey, we gotta make sure these people are living right." So they would then, and so I wondered if I was doing any good there, you know. But I loved it there. I love the whole idea of people being hungry for God and following God and learning and growing. And I didn't remember actually that your wife came from there, and that was a beautiful memory for me. And a great message. All these were great messages. Really very inspirational and encouraging. Praise God. Beautiful. Let's see. Let's have a couple of folks come on up. Maybe not everybody did meet Pastor Obed from Afghanistan. I think he's... Yeah, here he is. Okay, yeah. So he shared in Tirana. They shared last night. Yeah, you want to go ahead? There we go. Amazing. He shared in the rap last night about his childhood and upbringing in Afghanistan, fighting in tribal wars and with the Taliban, and growing in Islam, learning Islam, and having big questions, and then being an atheist, and then going to the internet. He said he read the whole New Testament in 1 week. With a dictionary, you know, not knowing English so well, or I don't know what language you were studying. But anyway, it was a good, it's like interesting life, very tough life, wow. And God giving him grace and leading him. So he escaped Afghanistan under the threat of being killed. Settled in New Delhi, in Delhi, India, and then started to share, and ended up planting five churches of Afghani refugees in Delhi, India. And God moving with these people, and it's so good and encouraging to hear those stories. So he'll be sharing again tonight. Before we close, I thought a couple of guys could come up and just say greetings. Pastor Dave Stambowski, would you like to come up, Pastor Dave? Is that all right? How about Richard Shepherd, Pastor Richard Shepherd? And then how about Pastor Christian Diaz from Chile? Would you like to come up, Pastor Christian? I know we're putting you on the spot, but just say a few words to build us up. Pastor Richard lives in Indianapolis area. Lebanon? No. Lebanon. Okay. There we go.
Awesome. Good to be here. Good crowd tonight. Just great to be in this great company of people. Love seeing your faces. Greetings from the flatlands of Indiana. I think after 3.5 years, I'm getting used to all the slowness. It can't take the city out of the city, boys, so this is great stuff. But we love it there. I don't know if Andrew and Julia are here somewhere sitting around, but we have a couple here this week, their first convention. It's really awesome. And we're loving it. And if you like corn, we have plenty of corn. So you can come visit us, have corn. It's awesome. Thank you so much.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Estoy muy contento de estar acá.
I'm very happy to be here.
Y contento también que Pastor Rolando esté conmigo.
And I'm very happy that Pastor Rolando is here with me. You want to stand up, Pastor? Okay. Santiago, Chile.
Va a ser es una semana muy especial para nosotros.
This is a very special week for us.
Y para él también porque él va a estar de cumpleaños el domingo.
And it's a very special time for him, and also it's his birthday Sunday.
Si tú lo ves en el pasillo, dale un abrazo el domingo porque va a extrañar a su familia.
So he's missing his family, so if you see him Sunday, give him a hug.
Yo estaba mirando un mapa allá atrás.
I was looking at the map in the back.
Y vi a Chile.
And I saw Chile.
Y encontré Santiago, que es la capital.
And I saw Santiago, which is the capital city.
Y es donde está Pastor Rolando pastoreando.
And this is where Pastor Rolando is the pastor.
Pero no encontré mi ciudad, no estaba Rancagua.
But my city, you can't see it on the map, which is Rancagua.
No está en el mapa.
It's not on the map.
Y recordé lo que dijo Miqueas, capítulo 5.
And so I remembered what Micah 6 says.
Le dijo Belén Efrata.
It says Bethlehem of Ephrata.
Pequeña para estar entre las ciudades de Israel, pequeña.
It's small amongst the cities of Israel.
Y la verdad que Rancagua no es una ciudad grande.
And truly, Rancagua is not a large city.
Y tal vez por eso no merece estar en el mapa.
And so maybe that's why it doesn't deserve to be on the map.
Pero es el lugar donde Dios nos mandó a mi familia y a mí.
But it's where God sent me and my family.
Cuando llegamos a Rancagua, no sabíamos nada.
And when we arrived there, we didn't know anything regarding the future.
Porque estábamos ahí.
We were there.
Pero fue el tiempo en que se produjo la división.
But it was what caused
la división.
Division. The vision.
División.
No la visión.
No la visión. La
okay. Division it is.
Y mientras en Santiago estaba el problema de la división.
And so in Santiago there was the division problem.
Nosotros estábamos en Rancagua plantando la iglesia.
So we were in Rancagua starting a church.
Dios guardó nuestros corazones.
And God kept our hearts.
Dios cuidó de nosotros.
And God took care of us.
Comenzamos con un programa de radio.
We started a radio program.
La iglesia eran 6 personas.
And the church had 6 people.
Yo, mi esposa.
My wife and I.
Y mis 4 hijos.
And 4 children.
No teníamos buenas ofrendas en ese tiempo.
We didn't have good offerings back then.
Pero después de 6 semanas, más o menos.
But after more or less 6 weeks,
llegó una persona.
One person came.
Después un matrimonio.
And then a marriage, wedding, a couple.
Jóvenes.
Young people.
Y ahora después de 10 años,
and so now 10 years later,
tenemos una iglesia de 130 personas más o menos.
We have a church of about 130 people.
Y Pastor Rolando nos visita de vez en cuando y está con nosotros.
Pastor Rolando visits us occasionally and he's with us.
Y estoy muy feliz de estar acá y yo no sé si Jenny Perry está acá.
We're very happy to be here and I don't know if Jenny Perry is here.
Jenny Perry?
Jenny.
Creo que fue la primera o la segunda vez.
I think it was the first or second time.
En Chile.
In Chile.
Ella guió a mi esposa a Cristo.
She led my wife to Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Huh? The mourners are comforted here, correct? The peacemakers are the sons of God here. It's a beautiful thing to express and experience this on any level and every level. For those who come in as babes, and so good to see all the little babes, and boy, amazing to see the growth and the maturity of the pastors and to be a part of this great work of God. No one has to tell us that we're in the right place. And it's just such a joy to be a part of it. And no matter what we go through, God is faithful, and the body's available, and stay available. I think one of the greatest gifts we have is our just being who we are, and we can boast in the Lord and in everything that He has for us. It's an incredible thing. And I thought that was Bran Castle in Romania. That's Dracula's castle. For only the Romanians know that, but I'm telling the rest of you, I was there, and it looks just like that. So I don't know how the Count Dracula got here, but he. It's all about the blood, isn't it? Come on. Oh, boy. Okay, that's enough. So just, can we stand? Can we stand? And wait. There you go. God bless you all. Thank you.